I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, we need to act on letter B because that is a
okay.
that's acted on.
Okay. Item number B is Macon County Board Resolution approving increase in appropriations in the FY Health Fund budget for 2020 census advocacy. Have any discussion on that?
Number B is what you talked about, Carol.
That'll be at the other meeting, I think. Fair housing.
Okay, we don't need to act on it here? Okay, well, it's on my finance committee. So, okay, never mind, Chairman. My apologies.
Okay. Back to the county board discussion for recommendations to take steps to mitigate the shortcoming of the budget.
Mr. Chairman, this is ASA Baggett. Before that item on the agenda, there is an agenda item for citizens' remarks. We do need to address that, and I would ask if we have received any public comment with respect to any prior public comment that was submitted before the deadline today. My understanding is that there was no public comment sent by email and received by the county board prior to the deadline that was listed on the agenda. I will also, during the public comment time, indicate for the record and for purposes of public information that today the chairman of the county board did proclaim a state of disaster within Macon County, Illinois, in accordance with his authority pursuant to the Illinois Emergency Management Agency Act. This proclamation is effective today, April 16, 2020, and will be effective for the next 7 days, at which time it shall either be extended by a vote of the Macon County Board or expire by its own terms.
Thank you, Mr. Baggett. Okay, so back to our financial crisis we're going to be headed into at the end of May. It looks as if we could make this pay period, and Carol, and two more.
You have been muted.
So I'd open up the...
Hold on.
Your microphone has been turned on.
Go ahead, sorry.
I hope so. This isn't working out real well.
So getting back to the topic at hand, we need to have a discussion on how we can make changes now to look out for the future as we move forward. We already know that the tax revenue is down. Just based on using a 35% indicator for the future, which we know it's probably worse than that now, we're looking at a $1 million shortfall in the very near future. We already carried over $800,000 in over from previous year. We also have employees that are short staffing now. We have several departments that are at home now with pay. So it's just an opportunity to while there's funding available that's above and beyond normal unemployment, just thought we'd address it now. Any comments? Floor's open.
Laura here. So what are we actually, I mean, are we voting on something? Like, what is actually happening? Because we've only gotten an email and we've got no other information. Who would be furloughed? What that would save us? When it would take effect? I mean, what are we actually doing with this meeting?
It's general discussion, like you're talking, but it's real easy. It's about $1.1 million a month in between salaries and benefits. So if you'd have to offset it, if you cut half the staff, it'd take you 2 months to even accrue that. Your loss, you're short. So just general discussion of. We know there's folks out there now that are working from home that aren't working and that are getting paid. Do we want it to continue on, or can we take proactive steps now? we're going to be short.
Is there any way if
we run it to
like some sort of packet with that information?
I'm so sorry. Can stop. I'm sorry. Can you identify yourself, please? Can you identify yourself, please?
This is Helena.
Thank you.
Yes, Helena, there is a way we can do that. Yeah.
Okay. I was just suggesting that so that maybe we can have just a little bit of time to, like, kind of go through it if we have questions line by line or, you know, maybe we can further discuss this just so that we're not making a quick, rash decision. I know this is important. I know we want to save money, but maybe we can do it in a better manner.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of saving money. It's a matter of we won't be able to pay anybody after May.
Okay.
But I will share that. I'll put it together. Carol and I will put it together. I was just kind of giving you a rough estimate. If you had two, if you cut everybody in half right now, the entire staff, you'd take 2 months to accrue $1 million. You'd have that in savings.
Okay.
Yep. I'm just giving you a reference point if that's what it'd take. Now, if you did 20%, you could calculate it out over, 4 months, 4.5 months, and so on.
Thank you.
Yep. But we do know the expenses that we're going to get with COVID going forward. The federal government has said that they'll have funding available maybe at that time, but it only covers COVID items specifically. We're already facing can I speak about the potential having to cover the bedding, the housing?
I mean, that's a possibility. We're holding off on it right now. This is Kevin Greenfield. We're holding off on it right now, but that is a possibility that could arise.
And what we're talking about is we could be forced into leasing space to house affected COVID patients out of pocket, an unknown expense, meals and all, at about $250,000. And that's just the first thing we've got headed our way. Mr. Greenfield would like to speak.
Mr. Chairman, this is Kevin Greenfield. Helena, I agree. We kind of threw this together in a hurry. But when I had the conversation with Carol, at that point in time, it was payroll maybe the May 8th. And it was time of the essence at that time. I still believe it is. Our payroll is 85% of our budget. So if we're going to make cuts, obviously payroll is where it needs to be. Currently, half of our staff is working, half of our staff is at home. And currently, if the staff is on unemployment, they will draw an extra $600 a week. So because of that, we felt like it was a good time to act quickly. We've been told that the unemployment is guaranteed till the end of July, the extra bonus. Hopefully by the end of July, we'll have an idea of where we are financially. I have spoke with Senator Rose and Congressman Davis today, and neither one of them gave me any good news whatsoever. Congressman Davis informed me that there is no bill in place for villages, municipalities, counties, whatsoever, to offset their revenue shortage. So therefore, we know it's coming. Now we can sit back and wait, or we can be proactive. I think it's to our employees' advantage right now to be proactive because of that bonus. But regardless of what it is, I think we can all be rest assured that this virus is going to take a huge toll on any revenue streams we have. I think that, as the chairman said, we were already $800,000 in the red. And because of this, I think it's very possible we could be very well in the millions in the red after this is over, especially if we don't act. Now, will reducing the employees 50% cure our problem? No, it will not. That's why I asked all office holders to give us in writing what they were mandated by law to do. I pray it doesn't happen, but I'm afraid that it may come down to where we are only going to be able to perform what we are mandated to do by law. If that happens, you're going to see a lot more employees than what we're proposing now. Again, I hope that doesn't happen. But I think it's better that we are prepared and proactive and try to get in front of this as sit back and wait. Now, some of the board may not agree with me, and that's fine. I'm just trying to give you the information that I have now and some of our choices. And believe me, none of the choices are good. But any of us that sat back during this thing and watched it start and watched it happen, if any of us thought this wasn't going to be a hardship on the county, had their heads, quite frankly, in the sand. This is going to be a terrible hardship on the county, and not just Macon County, every 102 counties in the state of Illinois and every county in the United States. So, as bad as I hate to suggest it and say it, I think this is a fair and reasonable start. But it's not the finish. And I don't want to be the only one making this decision, and I don't want you to think that I am. But I want you to know the information that I have. And all the information I have, none of it's good. We have no idea when Governor Pritzker is going to lift the ban on people being able to go to work 100% of the time, when restaurants, when bars, other businesses will be able to open. There's a lot of unknown variables. These are variables that no matter who asks the question, we can't answer them. But unfortunately, I think because of our payroll being 85% of our expenditures, we have to start there. And I believe under the circumstances that we have right now, it will be less hurtful for the county and less hurtful for our employees. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Floor is open.
This is Brian Smith. Can you hear me?
Who is it? Sorry, we can hear you.
This is Brian Smith.
Yeah, Brian. Brian Smith.
Question is, and I appreciate that clarification from Chairman Greenfield on a lot of information. My question is, what employees are you talking about? What departments? Obviously, not all are funded by the general fund. Can there be some clarification with that?
Mr. Smith, this is Mr. Greenfield again. It will refer to the county building and the courthouse. Obviously, highway is funded mostly through motor fuel. Work investment is through grants, and the health department is through grants. Those that are supported by grants will be okay until the grant runs out. If the grant's not renewed, then obviously they're going to face this situation. But our general fund is the one going to take the hit. You're absolutely correct. So the sheriff's office will not probably get to 50%. I've seen the sheriff's plan. It's a very aggressive plan. And there's several people that will be furloughed in that process. But the sheriff's assured me that as of right now, he thinks it can work. If it doesn't work, we can always bring these people back. Obviously, this is unprecedented times with unprecedented
unprecedented choices. But we always have the option, if it doesn't work, we can bring the people back. Now, we're going to have to figure out a way somehow to pay them, because my guess is once we run out of money, these people aren't going to come in to work. So that's pretty much where we're at, Mr. Smith. But you're looking at basically the county building and the courthouse and those offices in general.
Thank you.
Jim Gresham.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I have a long list of questions, but excuse me. You know, we are self-insured for unemployment compensation.
This is Carol. So, yes,
you know,
that is
of
correct.
That can are we kicking down the road? And second, what do we do? What happens with people that are laid off? What conversation has there been about continuing their insurance?
I can answer on that. On the furlough side, there's a distinction between a furlough and a layoff. A layoff is a termination of employment with the county. Where the furlough is, we'll have to just stop the benefits and the pay. And at that time, they would be offered COBRA. But
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well on that.
Okay, Jim, the difference is we're talking about a furlough and not a general layoff. A layoff is a termination of services with the county, where a furlough is they're just not paid and not covered with insurance, and they'll be offered COBRA at that time.
Chairman Jackson, may
yes.
I?
Okay.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, sorry. This is ASA Baggett, and I do want to step in here to clarify. There has been some confusion regarding the language of furlough versus layoff. We have we've done some legal research on this, and I do want to clarify for the committee, and I'll clarify later for the county board. If this is called a furlough by definition has to be for a definite period of time. It cannot be for an indefinite period of time, as it has been discussed and proposed, at least at present. The idea here is that we do not know how long this will last, whether it will last 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months. The very idea of it being an indefinite period of time will make it effectively, from a legal point of view, a layoff as opposed to a furlough, meaning that it will result in a termination of employment, which a furlough also results in at least a temporary termination of employment. But you also have to understand that a layoff will entitle any employees laid off to payouts of any unused and accrued vacation or comp time per the normal statutory reasons. Now, we can ask, if this is decided to be done in a on an indefinite basis and therefore becomes a layoff for the affected employees, then those employees can be given the option of banking their accrued time in anticipation of coming back to work at some future date. But it is their choice and their choice alone to make. If they choose to take their accrued vacation or other accrued leave pay, then they can do that. We will have to pay that out on their next paycheck. That is without question an obligation of the law. So that may not help our financial situation as it's currently anticipated. And if those persons then go on unemployment and find employment elsewhere and not come back, then we're stuck with the bill, so to speak. So I do want to clarify, there is a distinction between a furlough and a layoff, and what has been proposed and discussed at least at this point, is more a layoff than a furlough. So I think everyone on the committee needs to understand that going forward and what that entails.
Thank you.
If you are on the phone call and you are not speaking, could you please mute your microphone? That it creates a lot of interference for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Baggett. And with that being said, it's concerning to think if we go to the end and you cross this bridge at that time.
Then my question, Mr. Baggett,
Mr. Baggett, go to the microphone just so they can hear you, Kevin.
Mr. Baggett, then my question would be, if you set a furlough for a certain amount of time and your finances haven't got better, then can you lay the person off?
Yes. At which time you will, again, be faced with that compulsion to pay out any unused accrued time, even if they're drawing unemployment as a result of the furlough.
If the person is on a furlough, can you bring them back early from a furlough?
Yes.
Thank you.
Floor is open.
This is Laura.
And Lloyd, hold on.
Need to recognize.
Go ahead, Laura.
Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Lloyd. So I have kind of two points with this. One is that I think it's a huge assumption for us to say that if we furlough people, we can just bring them back. I mean, if you look around, other counties aren't laying off people, and they're going to jump on, if we, you know, let anyone go from the sheriff's office, they're going to jump on hiring somebody that they don't have to train. And then when they're gone and we decide we need them back in 6 months, then we're paying how, you know, for 12 weeks of training plus everything else. And that's true of any office. We're going to be paying to train people. So any savings up front, we're just going to lose that when we bring people back. The second thing is, I mean, you can call it proactive to lay people off, but I feel like that should be our last resort. We should exhaust everything else. We can't be laying off people when we can still make payroll. People's lives depend on it, and just to think that they can come back when we ask them to, I think isn't reasonable. This has just gone so fast that I feel like this should be, you know, there's a lot of information we don't have as a board, and so to take this action as our first step, I think is a little bit unreasonable at this point, at least.
I would be open for any suggestion. I think anybody in here would be too.
Well, I mean, it's hard to come up with a suggestion when we don't have, you know, we don't know, you know, you say we're going to lay off these people and Tony's got a plan. Well, that's great, but we need to see that plan before we can make any decisions on it. We don't have any information to come up with anything or to look at anything because we've had 48 hours of notice on this. And basically, you know, your spreadsheet where you assume something, you know, a 35% drop, that's a starting point. But until we have more data and more information to just lay people off, that doesn't sit well with me at all.
I'm in total agreement. So I'll put this out again. What's an option to not lay people off? You're on the finance committee. We've all had these discussions. We're 800,000 in the red. It's not like we haven't discussed this every single meeting. So I'm open. And that goes for anybody out there.
Okay. Lloyd Holman, I've got a question. We had a safety tax imposed several years ago here, and that money, I assume, has been stockpiling. I can't remember off the top of my head what the amount was in there. That's one department. I don't know if any others, because that money is earmarked specifically for safety. Is there money there that would maybe help sustain us, maybe not take as deep a cut from the Sheriff's Department in that, and are all of the departments basically in the same boat as far as finances? Some of them may have more in their funds than others, something they could transfer, move around, to possibly eliminate the process of cutting so deeply. Because I agree with Mrs. Emmerman about the if we lose these people, that's just cost in the future. And when you're trying to recover, that additional cost is not going to be any good. That's just one idea. I don't know what's in that fund, and I'd like to find out and to see if it possibly use that money. I'm pretty sure it was, because that's what got us the think three of them during the period of time that they had been laid off. And when that tax was passed, they brought them back.
Hey, Lloyd, your good question, and you're correct. I'm going to turn it over to Carol.
Lloyd, this is Carol. I think the LEST fund has about a $2.3 million reserve, which is unspent monies from prior years. So they do have some money in that budget, and I believe Tony was making plans to use some of that. But of course, that will be decreased, too. Generally,
that's helpful to know that,
okay.
One, we've got this as a rainy day. We need to do something with it. So, try to mitigate our losses, and not just short-term losses. If this thing goes for a month or two extra, I don't want to lose a bunch of good officers simply because they've gone someplace else. And I'm sure there's other counties that are not in the same boat we're in that are going to end up cashing in on this. So
that's a good point, Lloyd.
Appreciate your comment.
Yep. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Kevin Greenfield. Mrs. Zimmerman, to your question, as far as the information, you have about as much information as I have. Unfortunately, a lot of the information we need is not or will not be available. Mr. Holman, for you, the currently, and I just found this out a little bit ago, the sheriff's service of calls is down about 54-55%, I believe. So, therefore, he felt comfortable about making whatever cuts he chose to make. But I also said that I felt like the county board's top priority was safety, and I still believe that. And so, therefore, obviously, the sheriff would be granted more leeway than probably anyone else. But if you've read the paper, if you've looked in the news, if you've seen any news shows whatsoever, I've yet to see anybody hiring. Now, that's not to say that they won't, but I can assure you the city of Decatur is getting ready to go through the same problems we have. And talking with other counties, they're facing the same problems we have, maybe not on as strong or as big a note because they're smaller counties, but they're still facing the same situations. So if you've seen in the paper today, the state of Illinois, I believe, was facing a $6 billion shortfall. So by that being said, we know what the state currently funds in county government, which they are behind already. So we need to also keep that in mind. Now, how much they're going to pay? Ms. Zimmerman, I can't answer that question. Like I said, there's a lot of questions out there we all like to have answers to. The answers aren't available. So we can sit back and watch the train coming, I think, or we can get off the track. But regardless of what it is, the train's coming.
Mr. Chair, this is Helena. I have a question.
Go ahead, Helena.
I think when Mr. Smith asked what employees would be either furloughed or laid off, was it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is it the county building employees and the courthouse employees?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, is there any way we can get a number of the possibilities of what that number would look like if that was to happen?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yep, and Helena, I'll clarify. The 50% number was just using it for a reference point, period. There would be situations where there'll be none. The coroner's office can't give up anybody. So it's not just 50% across the board. It's solely based on the department head's suggestions and how they can get by with what the current workload is.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, Greg Mattingly.
Greg Mattingly, go ahead.
So far what I've been looking at is the spreadsheet on the projections on the loss of sales tax revenue. Has anybody had any concerns over delays when it comes time for property tax revenue? Because I foresee that we'll probably look at a hit.
Anybody catch that? Greg, you broke up. What tax did you say were you referring to? Property tax?
When it comes time for the property bills to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're anticipating that, but Carol's got ahead of that. She can take a line of credit up to 85% on that now. So we can secure 85% of the those funds.
Second question I have came from one office holder, and that question was, as far as the cost of COBRA, do they assume they'll be what they are now for people, or are those going to change?
Greg, you broke up again. Can you repeat the question?
Question deals with the cost of COBRA for any employees that they're laid off, as to whether those are going to be a constant that he can assume in making decisions, or whether they're likely to increase.
Carol's looking. Carol, I think he's asking if there'll be an increase in COBRA as time goes on.
This is Carol. July 1 is our annual time for Blue Cross Blue Shield, and as of right now, it will increase about 10%. So we do have an increase coming up.
All right, thank you.
Any more questions?
Jim Gresham.
Jim Gresham, go ahead.
Yes. You know, according to the missile that was sent out by the governor's Office of Management and Budget, just extrapolating their figures to ours in regard to sales tax and income tax, just a rough calculation, we're going to be short $400,000 to $600,000 over the balance of this year between sales tax and income tax. So that becomes, you know, I think a very critical number to be thinking about. Number two, I would ask Mr. Tanner, it would appear to me that from, again, just as a, you know, what I hear and read, is that it may be possible that in November we're looking at a mail-in ballot election. And I think at one time we had a figure from the county clerk's office in regard to what it would cost to send out a mail-in ballot with return postage. Mr. Tanner, do you remember what that number was?
Mr. Gresham, not off the top of my head. We have been speaking with the legislature, myself, and the association. That is something that's being considered. It would be quite expensive if they were to decrease election day voting. Those expenses might be offset, but if they do election day voting and mailing a ballot to every registered voter, you're talking hundreds of thousands.
I guess that was my concern, because on top of sales tax, income tax, and then, you know, I just had this, you know, this feeling that we're going to be doing something like that in November. And so we have a crisis here coming up, you know. And we need to be, you know, on top of this thing.
I agree. For the sake of time, we've got 2 minutes for the full county board. Got any closing comments, Mr. Chairman?
I mean, I would suggest that, you know, the Finance Committee make a recommendation to pass our conversations on to the full county board, and we'll let everybody discuss it and take it up at that point in time.
Do we need to move on to any of this?
This is Mike Baggett. I think the question, what Mr. Greenfield is indicated is an idea that this discussion be forwarded on to the county board, not necessarily a recommendation of particular action. Of course, it is within the committee's power and discretion to make, for one member to make a motion identifying a particular action and then having a vote taken on that motion and recommendation to give that to the county board. Alternatively, it can simply proceed in this manner, and to the extent that there are about board members who will be participating in a couple of minutes who are not currently on the call, then of course this can all be recapped for them after the board meeting is called to order. And I guess I hesitate here only to make sure I'm and clarify with Mr. Greenfield what his intent was with respect to his comment.
Mr. Baggett, I just think that this conversation, for the sake of time, that we carry this conversation over to the full board, knowing that the full board will be signing on any minute now. So my recommendation would be to just continue this conversation with the full board.
In that case, I don't believe there's a need for a motion or a vote, Mr. Chairman, and I think that in the absence of such, at the committee's pleasure, the meeting of the Finance Committee can be adjourned so that the full board meeting can be called to order.
That's the plan. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I need a roll call, please.
You need a second.
Need a second.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Greenfield. Roll call.
All right. Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
Ms. Kraft?
Aye.
Ms. Buckner? Ms. Buckner? Mr. Gresham?
Aye.
Mr. Greenfield?
Aye.
Dr. Zimmerman?
Aye.
Mr. Mattingly?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion to adjourn.
Everyone on the call, please stand by. The meeting of the county board.